Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
As I was caught up in worshiping Him, hey Loretta, hey gang, welcome, glad you made it. As I was caught up worshiping Jesus, I saw Him touching people in here. And I just began to weep of His goodness, you know, just touching people. He's the only one that heals and delivers and sets us free. And I love the original source. You know, I've been down the road of counterfeit. And I can smell counterfeit a mile away. And it used to make my hair stand on end. And now it just is like a stench in my nostrils. And I just love when it's the real power of the Holy Ghost, because He can set us free in a second. You know, I like to fast and I like to pray. And I do. But I love when revelation comes from Him and I just know what He's trying to get me to get. And as I've been seeking Him, you know, I don't really have a message. I never have a message unless He gives me one. And He tells me things. And last night I was... when Holly was ministering, and I'm sorry to say we did not capture the word, so the recording won't have last night's on it. Our sound person got hit with the Holy Ghost and went to the ground, and then I stepped over and I couldn't see the board. So we just assumed it was being recorded, and it wasn't. So, and here's the really good thing. That used to bother me, and I'm like, oh, well, you know, hallelujah. So it was meant for the people in that room, you know, and I used to come from a work performance, you know, get her done mode, and Jesus really has set me free. And I know there's a lot of people in here that struggle with that, because I can see it, you know, and I know your heart's cry is to get free. And I really believe the Lord's going to deal with every issue in here, and it's not because we deserve it or earn it, it's just because He wants us whole. He's doing a thing, and if you've noticed, He's a little more blunt than He used to be. Well, I used to be very shy, and you know, let somebody else say it. And you know, I remember about 3 weeks ago, you know, being a seer, it's really a blessing, but it also sometimes is hard to see. And, you know, I get in front of a group on Wednesday nights, and it's usually wonderful, but I also see the struggles of people's hearts. And there's a dear brother that's been coming in faith and crying out for deliverance and just not getting it, you know. And I was like, you know, let somebody deal with that, Lord, you know. You know, and I had to go through some correction from the Lord, and then I had to repent. And here's what happened. I thought some guy should do it, because it was a man, you know, and I saw the struggles, and I'm like, why isn't one of the brothers dealing with this? And then I realized they're just as messed up as he is, you know, and who's going to help the lost? And I don't mean that in any shame or anything, but we got to set each other free, and if whoever can, should. And so, you know, I remember having to repent, because I had anger in my heart. You know, why me? Why do I have to be the one? You know, and I really had to repent and get it right. And then I had to pray for days to get the word of the Lord, because my flesh and the way I was thinking is not what God's heart is on the matter. And I don't ever want to do damage to anybody anytime. And I'm sure I have in the past, and I'm sure I'm going to make mistakes along the way, but I don't hang on it. I don't beat myself up over it, and I always ask the Lord to redeem it if I've made an error in any way. And, you know, we had a great example of that last night. You know, we found out Brother Jim, when the Holy Ghost came through a couple days ago and everybody went flying, there was no catcher for Jim, and he had a little neck issue. And my heart was sad for that. I'm like, Lord, that's not right. Those angels should have caught him. That should have softened the blow. What's up with that? And then at the same time, the enemy's like, you call yourself used of God. Look at what happened to that. You know, and I'm like, what? Where are you coming from? Get out of here. See, recognize the lies, because where you look is where you go. And I'm like, Lord, redeem this. And sure enough, we got to pray for him, and the brother got healed, and he got healed of other stuff. Because God doesn't just do a little, He does it all. And I don't want to limit Him. So anyway, back to this brother, you know, I remember asking for the grace and the time, you know, because timing is everything. You know, oftentimes we think we know something and we're just going to tell you how it is. And when that happens, it actually causes damage to the body of Christ. Wounded people can't handle being wounded anymore. And you know, I had to get the heart of the Lord on this matter because it wasn't some simple little, you know, I stole a nickel out of the cash register. All sin is sin, but there was multiple layers. And it's not this kid's fault. He was raised in, you know, in a corrupt system. You know, weren't we all? And so he's coming week after week trying to get deliverance, and I'm judging him, thinking, get it together, brother. You know, and the Lord really corrected me on my heart, and that's my heart, is to receive correction. And so if there's correction that's given, please don't grow in offense with it, because it'll stop and block what the Lord's trying to release in your life. And isn't it so typical of the enemy to set you up to steal the deliverance that's right there based on an emotional wound that he knows? He can just poke you a little bit. You know, I used to love when I'd get poked by the enemy. I was like a big marshmallow. Poke me. Oh, there's an area I need healing in. Oh, poke me. Oh, I've got an issue with that. Let's deal with it. I wouldn't say, I'm okay. I'd say, whoa, there's an open door. There's an area that needs healing. And I welcome healing. And I don't know why. I think it's because I was so desperate to get set free from my life because I was such a mess. Yeah. You know, oh, I looked good in the natural. Well, not really, but, you know, I thought I did. You know, I just, you know, I thought people didn't know. You know, I tried to act a certain way. And God has slowly set me free in many areas and levels. And so back to the brother, because the Lord won't let me off this. There came a time when I called him. No, I texted him. I said, hey, do you have a few minutes? And he said, give me 15 minutes. I'll take my break at work. And we talked on the phone. And I've never been so direct with somebody. I felt like I was snatching them out of the fire. I got chills again. And I've never spoke so boldly and bluntly to anyone in my life. And it's stuff I would just assume turn away to, you know, I don't want to see. But I knew it was the Lord speaking to this man's soul, trying to shake him, the crustacean off of him for the years of justification. And God touched him right then and there. And I mean, I still look, I think back on that and I think only God could have done that. Only God could have done that. Who would receive that from a woman, first of all? You know, and here's the thing. He chose me because I have a track record. You know, I know a con from a con. And our natural reaction is when we're being corrected, we kind of deflect and say, well, it's really because of, and I'm like, hey, brother, let's be honest with each other. Let's be real. Do you want to get healed? Do you want to be healed, or do you want to stay where you're at? Because God's offering you victory, but you gotta take His hand, and He's, you know, it like shook him, and he got it, and he's like, I want it, and I told him a few things that he needed to do that the Lord gave me. They were keys for his life, and whether he did them or not, I didn't know, but I prayed for him, and I prayed for him again after I hung up, and I said, Lord, don't let anything steal what happened, because I know the enemy likes to keep people in bondage. I'm like, Lord, help him get his deliverance. Help him follow through. And I don't know when, but he sent me a text message. I'm not real great at responding to texts, so if you've texted me and it's been a month, you're probably not going to get a response. I forget, you know. Sorry. So anyway, he sends me this text, and he said, you're a true friend. And I thought, wow, I'm really a skunk, you know, that had to get correction. And get the heart of the Lord. But I really believe that man got set free. You know, I got a text from him, and I don't know, about a week ago maybe, and he said, I got some freedom. And I'm like, hallelujah. Take that, devil! You know, and I can't wait to see where he comes into, you know, because his identity was stolen. And every one of us has had some identity theft. You know, and I really feel like it's now or never, all hands on deck. If we don't get this, we're going to have some serious trials to overcome. Thank you, Mary. And so, as I was praying, you know, the Lord gave me a picture when Holly was ministering the other night when she was talking about being a tomboy. And it was bringing up all these old memories because I forgot that's how I used to be, you know, because I got set free. And it wasn't instant. You know, there was many layers of that. But the Lord reminded me, because there's people in here who are tough. Tough because you've been hurt and you don't want to be hurt anymore. And so you've taken on, oh, I never took a drink. Hold on. You've taken on, well, the hood. You know, you walk like the hood and you talk like the hood. And you're not going to let anybody mess with you. And you're hoping someone's got your back. But if not, it's okay because you're a survivor. And I came from that. So, you know, I recognize that, okay? And I got set free, but it wasn't instant. I did have to do some proclamations and repentance. But anyway, what I'm seeing in here is there's a few of you that are in what I just described. No one's going to mess with you. You've had enough, and you don't want no more. And so you've developed this wall of defense, and it's caused you thought you were in comfort because nobody can penetrate the wall of defense. But actually, it's brought you into isolation. And when I said that and see that, I actually see you like a little sheep on the side of the pen, and you're not coming to eat, you know, the food because you don't want to get too close to the other sheep. And so, I hear Jesus wooing you and saying, come on, come on, I'm the gentle shepherd, come to me. And so as I'm saying this and seeing this, you know, oftentimes the Lord will show me strategies of I'll see like the strategies of the enemy, and then he'll give me the victory of how to overcome. And so some stuff will come up today and you'll go, oh, that's me. What do I do? And so when that comes up, in your heart, you just quietly repent. You don't have to, you know, stand up and throw it up in a basket or anything like that. All you got to do is say, Lord, I repent, you know, for thinking, you know, that I knew best. Or, Lord, I repent for building this wall of defense. Whatever it is, because he'll give you the picture in your heart. And when you get that picture, you don't justify it and say, well, that's the way it's going to be. Or, I'm sorry, but I'm not ready. Listen, you're ready. You came here. You're ready. You're ready, and you're ripe, and you're going to get picked. So, because you're sweet, and you're lovely, and you're beautiful, and God's not forgotten you. And some of the lies of the enemy as well, you know, I did too much, or I've been hurt too bad. There's no way I can have restoration. Listen, God raised Jesus Christ from death in the ground. He was in the ground. He raised him up to eternal life so that you can have eternal life and all the blessings here on earth. That same resurrection power that raised him from the dead is inside of you. You don't have to live in lack. You don't have to live in, well, maybe next time, or I didn't get, you know, here's a common one. Well, I didn't get my breakthrough at the retreat. Well, if you didn't, then you weren't sitting in the room because it's here. He's here. It's effortless. We are in a season where it's not, you know the parable of the workers that came in and got paid? You know, this is it. You're going to get the full measure if you show up at Friday afternoon or last Sunday. The full measure is for everybody. So don't miss what God is doing. And don't bite into the lie of, well, he didn't touch me. He's touching you. He's touching you because you're part of him. He cannot not touch you. God's revealing the lies of the enemy and the strategies of the enemy. And here's the other thing. You don't need to have some big old Holy Ghost explosion for spending time and steeping in his presence. If you're in this room right now or anywhere on the grounds, you're receiving from God. This is a holy mountain. This place is dedicated to the Lord. When you step foot on here, the atmosphere was different up here. This place is sanctified. So when you come in, you know, some people can't see and they don't understand, but listen, if you walk into, and this is a bad example, but if you walk into a tavern and they're smoking in there, you're going to smell like cigarettes when you come out. And you'll smell that in the natural. When you walk into the mountain of God, you're going to smell like the fragrance of God. And just because you can't smell it because you're still carnal, or maybe you just your nose is plugged, I don't know, but, you know... It's here. He's here. And we have to start changing our perspective and our focus. You know, oftentimes we look at the low level of, okay, well, I'm here now. Listen, in heavenly places. That's where the blessings are. That's where the deliverance is. That's where you are. And God's asking you to make the great exchange. And I want to talk a little bit about the great exchange today because I think it's life-changing. And it's life-giving. And, you know, God is wooing every one of us. And every one of us has got a story. Every one of us has a story. And it doesn't matter the story because the ending is victory. Because when you make the transformation from your old dead life into the kingdom of God and receive all the blessings and promises, your old self has passed away. It's dead. The old man's reckoned dead. And God is challenging us to recognize that. Some of us are using excuses still, and it's okay. But now today's the day that you see. And when you see, it's like, oh, I see. I once was blind, but now I see. You know, some of us use excuses, well, I was abused when I was a kid. Or, you know, I had a bad marriage, or I grew up in poverty. Listen, every one of us had something happen to us, or more. But there's a place of grace in God. There's a place in the cross. There's so much power in the cross, and so much revelation released from the cross and everything Jesus did, and that He's imparted into us, that He wants us to make the great exchange, to lay ourselves down. And the process for this is, it's multi-level. It's ever-ending, or ever-increasing, I should say. And for me, you know, some of you heard were here earlier and heard the dream, you know, the dreams. And I really feel like God wants me to share a little bit about my journey. I'm not getting into the whole thing, but so that you can see the victory. And sometimes when He has me share this, we'll release keys to help people overcome the obstacles of the enemy. And this year, the Lord is like, well, I should say this week, this day, this month, whenever I came on the mountain, you know, God is like shouting 2008 in my ear and in my sleep. And there's so much to that. And as I'm sitting here worshiping, He's telling me more, He's telling me more. And it's all good. It's not bad. It's all good. And so, you know, there were some bad things that happened in 2008. But here we are now, and it's all good. You know, and there's a process. And so in my case, in my story, you know, I didn't know Jesus as a young child. I didn't, you know, my parents, well, not my dad, my mom would drop us off at the Catholic church because we needed church. And she didn't come. And so me, my sister, and my brother, we'd go to church. And then when they'd do that communion afterwards, we would just leave, you know, and not stay for the rest. And we'd go to the little tavern down the road and buy candy. So that was my religious upbringing, if you get the picture. And so as time moved on, you know, I got married and you know, I bought into the American dream. You know, I believed that you could have anything you wanted. You know, I heard something and I went after it. And so I pursued that and got married and had kids and had the perfect family, you know. I played the perfect role of the perfect family and in the community and, you know, started going to church and getting involved in church and doing the, you know, the works and you know, the junk that goes with it and the flesh that goes with it, I should say. And so, I love church, okay, but I just was like so messed up. And so what ended up happening is, the church I was going to went through a split, and it was pretty ugly and pretty devastating. And I went to, I was starving because I didn't know how to read the Bible. I just listened to the pastor for that 20-minute feel-good message that I would hang on for the week, and it would fade after about a day. And so what happened was I ended up going to one of Holly and Edgar's meetings in Crystal Lake. Woo, shakabonde. And... And what happened was I encountered Jesus. I met Jesus in that service. And when that happens, you know, okay, when you've been in bondage, living on the plastic world, living in the earth curse system, and then Jesus shows up, and I fell in love instantly. I didn't even know what love was, but I knew He was love, and I was in love with Him. I mean, He was so full of life and energy. And purity, I just was undone. And even though I was a wreck and a sinner and a mess, He didn't care. He didn't like say, hey, sinner, you know. He just loved me. And He wooed me. And so what ended up happening was I kept pursuing Him. He was pursuing me too. And through, I was like I was just in love with the Holy Spirit and the move of God. And what was going on in those services, it was life-giving. You know, I was slowly coming out of darkness. I didn't know that you weren't supposed to be sick. I didn't know. I thought, oh, you get sick, you take a pill. You know, I learned, no, God heals. And so, you know, I got healed of high cholesterol, asthma, a blood disorder, a bunch of stuff. I don't even remember anymore. And not all instantly, you know, but I would listen to a teaching, get life, ankle. I'll tell you that one too. But it was amazing what God was doing. It was like, I didn't know you could have this at home. I thought you had to go to Edgar and Holly's meeting to have this. And so I would go. I would drive an hour, hour 10, hour 20, hour and a half. And along the way, the enemy would try to stop me. I'd get a flat tire. The kids would start crying, or one would get a fever, or I'd get in a fight with my husband, or it just wouldn't work out, you know. And so, and I would always feel like, oh man, I got robbed. And I would always ask the Lord, how can I overcome this next time so this doesn't happen? And the Holy Spirit would give me a strategy. And one of them was pray ahead. And so, and declare, you know, I'm going and nothing's going to stop me. No devil's going to stop me. And so, I mean, we had like, one time we were going and the alternator went out on the car and we prayed our whole way. Was it there or back? Both? Back? You know, the lights were dimming and we're commanding and shakabanelegorodiana, this car will run. We got every green light. And this was an hour and a half drive. And then when we got in the driveway, the car died and we were laughing about it. It would not start again. You know, the supernatural lifestyle is the normal lifestyle for me, okay? I live in abundance of God's provision and His blessing, not because I deserve it, but because I am going to live in His provision and His abundance. I'm not going to no longer say, oh no, not me. You know, people joke because when there's a word given, I take it. I want every blessing He has for me. I don't want one drop of His blood to be in vain for it. I don't want to have to go to heaven and face Him and say, oh, I didn't take that. I'm sorry. You know, I want it all. And I'm not stingy because He's always giving. The more you pull, the more He gives. And so fast forward, something started to happen in my life. I was believing God and God was waking me up and He was showing me the issues of my heart. You know, I was broken. In the natural, it didn't look that way, but on the inside, I was spiritually bankrupt, and then I was becoming spiritually alive, and the two were colliding and fighting with each other. And it was like, how do you do this? And, I felt like I was a secret agent for Jesus Christ. You know, I felt like I had this secret life. I'd go to these services, and it would be like, and then I'd come home and be the church mom or the happy PTA mom, and you know, it was weird, and I did it for a while, but it became hard to hide my identity in Christ. And I believe that this is a prophetic word for the Bible, for the church right now, because some of you guys have been hiding, and God's calling the bride out. And so there came a day when you know, I would wrestle this, and I didn't know how to deal with it. Truthfully, I didn't know, and the Lord would, you know, I'd say, He'd give me stuff to do, and I'd do it, but I'd have to do it in secret, because I didn't want my family to know, first of all, that I was filled with the Holy Ghost, because they didn't know what that was. And second of all, I already was a little strange. And then, you know, it started getting strange in the house. I mean, supernatural stuff was happening, and you can't deny or hide supernatural stuff. And so there came a day when I had to make a decision. You know, I'm either going to, and I was actually, you know, I don't even want to get into that, but I had to make a choice, serve God or serve man. And it was a no-brainer for me. And I was like, I'm serving God with all my heart and all my soul, and I don't know how that's going to play out, and I don't even care, because I know You're going to take care of it. Because I knew He was taking care of me. You know, He was just starting to show me Himself. And I had such huge trust issues with people, for one thing, and then Him, who you can't see. How do you trust someone you can't see? You know, I didn't understand the Word well enough to believe it, that it was really all true. Because some of it didn't make any sense to me with my flesh. I was thinking, how, you know, I don't even want to tell you what I was thinking. So anyway, so as time got on, God challenged me or set me up for opportunities to trust Him. And in my heart, I had a choice. Trust Him or rely on my old self. And let me tell you, it wasn't 100% trust Him. Oftentimes, I'd fall back into relying on my old self. And then the war would wage inside my heart. And then the enemy would pound and, you know, say, just give up. This isn't for you. You know, isn't it better when you were stealing and cheating and lying than, you know, than being in this torment with Him? You know? But I wasn't tormented by him. I was tormented by the devil. See how the devil tries to deflect and point his finger to something that's totally not true? And so as time went on, I learned to trust him and believe him, but most importantly, obey him. You know, and it didn't happen all the time. Let me tell you, I'm telling you. He would say, I'm driving to church one morning. I was setting up sound, and this was a different church. And I'd stop at McDonald's every morning and buy coffee for the sound team. And I was in the drive-thru lane, and it's like 7 in the morning, which is like really early, but I was still conformed to that world at that time. And and there's this Spanish man with his little boy going into the McDonald's in Paddock Lake. I'll never forget this. And I'm in my old work truck, and the Lord says to me, tell him I love him. And I'm like, I'm in the McDonald's line getting coffee. And I just kind of ignored him. And I'm like, I'm in McDonald's line, and I'm not getting out of this line. And I'll be late for church. And so I go through the line, and I'm kind of like, la, 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 because I don't want to confront this guy. And I get the coffee, and I'm driving away, la, 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 ignoring the Lord completely. And that thing, you call yourself a Christian, that thing, you know, that spirit that pushes on you and is like kicking you. And I'm like, I'm getting sick of that thing. And I'm driving away, and all of a sudden I'm like, I'm going to do it. And I turned around, and I had to wait in the parking lot now because I missed the first opportunity. Now, God always gives a second opportunity. If we miss it, somebody else will carry, you know, do the steps of God. But, you know, I don't want to miss it anymore. And so what happened was I'm sitting there waiting, and now I'm like, I'm going to be late for church, you know. And the guy comes out with his little boy. He's holding his little boy hand, and I hop out of my van, and I say, excuse me. I was in the drive-thru, and the Lord gave me a word, and I waited for you to come back out because this is the word of the Lord. He loves you. And the little boy starts weeping. And he looks up at his dad, and his dad has tears in his eyes. I said, that's it. And I left. And I drove away because that was the word. I didn't know anything else. I drove away, and I was like, Lord, what was that? And he said to me, the man is backslidden, and there's a grandma that has been praying for him. And this guy was an adult man. And I was like, oh, forgive me, Lord. And, you know, oftentimes when we're learning the voice of the Lord and he's commissioning us to speak the word, he doesn't do, like, he won't send you to the president right away. He'll send you to the easy ones, okay, so that you grow in your faith in him. And so then when you're in front of a gang or you're in front of, you know, somebody who's so steeped in sin but yet is crying out for help, you can speak the word of the Lord in season and not be moved. And so God's calling us and challenging us to deal with our stuff. And I'm seeing in here, you know, I'm seeing identities like click and then shift. You know, I see stuff happening in here because, you know, it's we need his help. And we're the church has failed us. You know, the books have failed us. The only thing that's going to work is God and the Bible and hopefully a good message along the way, which causes you to ask questions to the Father. You know, that's another story. But anyway, so yesterday when Holly was sharing about identity and she took on the tough role, was that what you said, tough role or something like that? And so did I, you know, and so when I repented of that, it was the weirdest thing because it had been my whole life for so long. And it felt odd afterwards. And I remember thinking, I don't care what the problem is, I know it's me. And if he tells me to put on a skirt, I'm putting on a skirt. And I meant it, even though it would have been painful. I would have done it, and I would still do it. If he tells me to do something, I will do it. So anyway, the first thing he told me, which was challenging my old belief system, was he said, go buy a purse. And I remember thinking, go buy a purse? For what? And he said, you can put your Bible in it. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, because I was like... So I remember going to Kohl's with him and walking in and looking at the purses, and I don't know what purse to get, truthfully. And I say to the Holy Spirit, I said, what purse should I get? And you know what he picked out? This big old bright neon green purse. So I couldn't hide that I was carrying a purse anywhere, you know. I was thinking about that today, and my purse is back in the car right now, but it's packed with everything that a woman needs. And something for their grandkids, too, you know? I don't have grandkids, but I'm sure there's something in there if somebody needs it, you know? And so I laugh at that now, but it was painful because it was stretching me out of my old identity into who I'm supposed to be. And now I laugh because that was a landmark. Neon green sign, you know. And so I know God's releasing stuff in people's hearts to... My daughter's here. I forgot about that. She doesn't know any of this stuff, do you? Yeah. It's a big thing, you know. My Bible comes out and they're like, all that in there? Oh, Lord, where are we? So, you know, the body's in a little bit of trouble right now, and he's shaking us, not to scare us and not to cause us to justify or anything. He's waking the bride is what he's doing, and for so long we've been lulled and just accepted, well, this is the way it is, and God gave me a prophetic release this morning, which I really don't want to share, but he told me to. And it's all thankfully to the great bread we had over the last couple days. So we've been feasting at night and sharing God stories. And I don't normally eat like that. I like greens in my diet. And well, today was the payment day, okay? So I was a little constipated today. It's a prophetic word, and I did release it out there. And over there. No. We're going there. We're going there. See, if you have a religious spirit right now, it's gone, or you're leaving, one of the two. So, you know, I run to the bathroom to try to go, and I can't, and I'm like, and the Lord says to me, command your bowels to release. And I'm like, oh, duh. And so I command my bowels to release, and they did. And so I thought, you know, isn't the walk of the Spirit easy? And I also thought, I don't know how I can live without him, because he always is telling me the right thing. Okay, I'm not going to run after some supplement. He knows. So I was thanking him, and then later I was talking to him about it, and he said, that's actually prophetic. That's where the body of Christ is right now. They're constipated. And I'm like, oh, there's a prophetic picture. And tell me we're not taping. No. edit. Sorry, we don't know what happened to the afternoon service message. So I'm you know, after the service. The early service, I was laying out by the Lord, with him in a secret place I found, which I'm not telling you. And and I was laying there, and I was just worshiping him, how good he is, you know, and I'm praying for the people, and I don't have a message. And then he reminded me of the condition of the church and how it's constipated, it's stuck. And it needs deliverance. And he had me command the bowels of the church to loose. And when I did that, all the trees started blowing. And I thought, whoa, you know, it's going to fly any day. And I'm making light of this, but truthfully, there, you know, I kind of feel like there's a little Edgar anointing in the room today. So anyway... As I've been, you know, praying into this, I'm actually seeing the church is going to get messy. You know, I don't mean to say this, but the church has to get stirred, and it's going to get messy, and there's going to be some resistance, and there's also going to be some release. And stuff's going to fly is all I'm going to say. And it's necessary. It's necessary. And God's using it as a parable, so you're not scared. When you start to smell the stench of the church being released from bondage and captivity. They're coming out of that. You know, there'll be a remnant. You know, you're the remnant, but there's more. And some people are still, you know, we have to snatch them out of the fire. We have to speak truth to them. We have to set the captives free. And it always doesn't smell like roses. Although you can spray roses later, it doesn't work. God will release His fragrance on the church. We can try and mask it any way we want. We can try to pretend that you know, we can ignore it. Listen, that's His bride, just like you're His bride. And they're broken and stuck. And God is going to have His way in this earth. But it is up to us to choose life. Just like that day when I was forced to make a decision, serve God or serve man. And I said, I'm serving you. I remember laying on the floor and just presenting myself to Him as a living sacrifice. Do with me as you will. I don't know what that means. I don't even care what it means. I just know that you're real and everything else is fake, and I'm tired of living a fake life. And from there, things started to come. Stuff started to rise up, and I had to deal with it. And here's the thing. I didn't know how to deal with it. Holy Spirit, who is my best friend, I am eternally grateful for the wisdom and revelation He releases and the direction and the simple words of when to speak and when not to. He's the one that leads me and guides me into all truth. He's the one, you know, when things were so bad in the earth in my life where there was no way out, I wouldn't push. I would just tuck in and say, what do I do? Oftentimes it was say nothing, do nothing, just rest in me. And I'd be like, well, but I got to fix this. I got to break through. No, no, no. See, there's a work of the Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit. And if you could touch it, then it's a work of the flesh. And the two cannot go together. And there's too much flesh and spirit in the body of Christ. It makes me, I get this grieving, like a knot, but it's the Holy Ghost in me. I'm grieved at the condition of the body of Christ and spirit-filled believers. You know, for so long we've been allowing people to manifest as though it's the Holy Ghost. Listen, we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We should be able to compose and maintain and walk in authority without acting like a nut job. When we act like a nut job, it doesn't witness to the body of Christ. It pushes them away. And there's some of you who are in authority here, and God is calling you into true position, but you're acting like a nut job, and you're missing your promotion. And there's no condemnation. You can stay there where you're at. He'll love you right where you're at. But there's so much more. I'm after the so much more. I didn't die to stay dead. I died to be joined with Him as co-heir. You know, listen, this isn't theory. This is real. There are places that you can be in Him. In Him I live and breathe. In Him I live and breathe. In Him. Yeah. I'll never forget that. 2018, July 18th, 2018. I was at a conference. And I've been serving Him since I don't know how long. I didn't keep track. I bet you it's written down somewhere, though, besides the books of heaven. And I remember I was in a weird conference. And it was just a weird place. But I remember having one of the most amazing times with Jesus. See, it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what's going on in the Spirit. And so often we judge what we see with our own eyes. And then it caps us where we're at. And I remember Jesus was wooing me this one day. And I'll never forget it because it changed my life. And I was with Him. I was dancing with Him in the Spirit. And then He held me in His arms. And I stayed in His arms. And then I went into Him. And I'm telling you, you can't manufacture something like that. It's a living experience, and it's life-changing and life-giving. And how do I know that date? I never keep track of dates. But there's certain things that are monumental in heaven. And I remember listening to an Andy teaching a long time ago, an Andy Womack teaching, you know, that he made memorials when there was like significant things that happened with God. And I remember getting this little old rock and drawing a picture of me and Jesus arm in arm and, you know, me in Him and writing that scripture out. And it's a part of my life. You know, because the enemy will never be able to steal that. Anybody who knows me knows I don't keep track of dates, but I know that date. You know, I know the date my kids said yes to Jesus. I know their age. You know, there's certain things that are important. The rest is junk. You know, and I try not to get caught up in the junk. And listen, God wants you to come in both feet. And there's this thing called justification. I'll do it my way. I'll do it in my time and my terms. I'm working things out. I still want to do this. Listen, when you have one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the kingdom of darkness, there is chaos. And if you're not receiving the blessings of the Lord, is it the Lord's fault? That's when we have to examine our lives and say, well, what am I doing? What's really going on in my heart? Not when I'm at church and not when I'm at work, but what am I doing when I'm at home? Am I spending time fellowshipping with Him? Am I in His Word? Am I washing the, am I washing the feet of the dirty ones? The lost ones? The backslid? The pain in the butt ones? That just don't seem to get it? You know, am I on my face crying out for deliverance because I have that attitude? Listen, there is division in the world, and the enemy sows division. He's trying to sow it in church, and he has, but we will not allow it. We're not allowing it anymore. When the enemy's found out, we put a stop to him. No, you're not doing that. Hey, I love you. Hey, I love you. Hey, I love you. I'm not judging you. I love you. You start speaking like that, even if you don't believe it, it'll come to pass in your heart. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Oftentimes I have to say stuff that my emotions haven't yet lined up with. But I'm amazed, because then all of a sudden the emotions come along and they go, yeah, I do love you. And it's a Holy Ghost love. It's like, you know, there's like this merge of your emotions, His emotions, and that's wonderful. See, we're supposed to have emotions. Some of you have stuffed your emotions so long that you're toxic and you need to have a release. A good cry, you know, I'm tough, I nobody sees me cry. I went through all that. I cry all the time now, and it's good. You know, I was shy, I was backwards. I was so bound. I'm not kidding. You know, I used to drink before I'd have to give a speech or talk, you know, or do drugs. I couldn't do it. And then when he told me that he wanted me to do this thing for 6 weeks, which he tricked me into, I knew it wasn't me, it was him. And see, there's the difference. I know in my flesh dwells no good thing. I know that. I really believe it. And I don't try to justify my flesh. When I screw up, I say, oh, I screwed up. Hey. But I don't hang there. I keep moving on. I keep pushing in. Lord, help me. Help me. Give me a strategy for the next time when I'm faced with this decision of, you know, judging a person or not wanting to help a person or helping them too much. And then them relying on me instead of you. You know, it's important for balance in the spirit. You know, some people get mad at me because it's kind of like a horse. You have to wean them. You know, they have to go to him eventually to hear his voice. It's okay to prophesy and it's okay to help and equip and build, but we're not God. He is. And what happens when the day when there's no phone and there's no internet and you're in the wilderness and then what are you going to do? Wouldn't it be better to know his voice before that happens? I'll never forget when Holly was teaching on this. I don't remember, but for me, the vision, she shared a vision, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so dependent on my best friend. I tell her everything. I don't tell him nothing. There was like idolatry and wrong order, and I'm like, Lord, forgive me. And I started to ask him to help me change. You can't change on your own. Without his help, you can't do it, so good luck with that. But I asked him to show me, and he slowly started teaching me, you know, and then he started telling me secrets. And then I'm like, he's telling me secrets. And then you have to hold those secrets because they're not for your friends. They're for you and him. And it's amazing. And then I'll never forget the day he said to me, I trust you. And I was thinking, oh, was there ever a doubt? I'm serious. I thought, I'm so trustworthy, you know, because I really wasn't a natural. I would hold a secret, you know, till my death. And, you know, So when he told me that, I didn't realize the revelation behind that. I just was currently thinking, well, of course you can. Anybody can tell me anything and I won't share it. You know, anybody who knows me knows that. You know? But when he told me that, I realized there was a great transformation that took place in my heart. My Father trusts me, and I knew it. Now, the Word says it, but I knew it experimentally, or however you say that word. And I began trusting him because he trusted me. And I know I'm a little backwards with a lot of stuff, But he knows how I work, and he helps me get the revelation I need so that I'm on time. I've had times when I wasn't on time, you know, where I'd be delayed because of, well, I'm shy, I'm afraid. You know, like he would tell me, one time I was supposed to pray for this lady, and I didn't want to, I was afraid. And I knew I had an impartation that I received from heaven that I was supposed to give this person, and I was afraid. They'd think I was nuts. And I delayed. And an angel came and visited me and picked me up and pushed me into where I was supposed to be because the season was lagging. You know, in God, the seasons are not like they are in the natural. You know, so often we're thinking, well, it's fall. Well, is it? You know, his seasons are different. And we don't rely on what you see in the natural because it's bigger than that. You know, and I see some people in here who are just struggling right now. You're under attack. I'm not looking, but I see. And God, his hand is out. You're holding on to something, and you've got a grudge. And it's just a grudge. If you think about it, it's just a button. It's just a penny. It's just a grudge. Give it to the Lord. When you place that in his jurisdiction, when you let it go, he always blesses. Now, he won't bless wrath on somebody, but you'll receive the blessing of joy in your heart when you release a grudge over somebody. You know, the enemy wants you to stay crabby. He loves when you're mad. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, years ago when I was going through, you know, because when you decide, when you fully commit, not partway, not 1 foot, but both feet in, there's, you know, you grow attention. The enemy says, oh, we're losing one. And so there'll be a little extra attack. But really, it's designed to grow you closer to the love of the Father and reliance on him. But if you resist and start fighting back in the flesh, you know, when I say resist and fight in the flesh, some things we need to let go. You know, and there were things that I had built, the empire, the Lori Scanlon empire. I built it, and when I got to the top of it, I thought, this is it? This is it? And when I met Jesus, I knew that empire was counterfeit. And it was all done in wrong order. And I was like, oh, Lord, forgive me. And slowly he helped me with that. The empire raveled. You know, the rubble came. I remember, you know, that scripture, if your house isn't built on a solid foundation, if it's on sinking sand, good luck. I'm paraphrasing. Well, everything was shaking and it all fell because it wasn't built on Jesus Christ. And it's designed that way to rely on him for our strength every day, like fresh manna. And people tend to want to build up or hold up or store up the blessings. Listen, they're new every morning. And so stop trying to control the situation. That you know, I know there's stuff that's busting loose in here. I can see it. You know, and you're being set up. It's not like, why is it happening to me now? It's because God is saying, let it go. You've tried, and you're sitting on death and destruction. And it's rotting, and you're part of the stink. Come out from the stink. And when you separate yourself from the stink, you'll get the heart of the Father. You see, when you're in it, you can't see clear because you're tied into it. And I'm not saying, you know, divorce or quit or anything. I'm saying separate yourself, meaning in the Spirit, go away and listen to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Get his revelation. Open the Word and ask him to speak to you regarding this situation. And then ask him to give you the grace to walk it out because he's walking you out of your deliverance. He's walking you out of the bondage. And some of you are being used by the enemy through trickery, through a false strength. I can do this with God's help. Listen, you can't. You're not God. God wants you to lay it down, surrender it completely, put it on the altar as a living sacrifice. Let it burn up. If he raises it from the dead, it'll raise from the dead. It'll have a smell of beauty instead of the corruption of the earth where it's at right now. But you're being deceived. You know, you think that you're listening to God, and I'm sorry, but I just have to go with the Lord because the Lord's trying to shake you, not to hurt you, but to wake you up because he's got so much more for you, but you're staying here trying to keep this thing managed when he's like, come up here and eat. Come up here and drink. Come up here and be refreshed. And so I feel like, you know, in my life, there were many opportunities to practice, and some I did good and some I didn't, and I don't keep track because he's the... It's all for him or it's nothing. And that's his desire is for us to truly love him and worship him with both feet in the kingdom. You know, all compartments are his. You know, I know there's people in here who are struggling with your marriages. You know, there's strife, which, you know, that'll keep you stuck forever. You got to be right. I'm never right. I'm never right. He's always right. You know, a perfect example. You know, I serve in Edgar, in Holly's ministry, and, you know, she talked about it the other day, but I don't think most of you were here. How do you win an argument? You don't fight. And I remember one time I was crabby about something. I was trying to, you know, say my way, and she would not bite. You know, and I'm thinking, how do you fight with someone who won't fight? You know? You know how foolish you look when you are having your own temper tantrum without the other person? Just saying. It diffuses. You know, if you don't engage, it diffuses. And then it should bring conviction. You don't bring the conviction. The Spirit of God brings conviction and says, oh, really? You know, hello? And so it's a work in progress. You know, you won't win instantly, but and you make mess up a little bit, but maybe not all the way. Maybe you recognize you're not going to argue anymore, and you're like, I'm not giving into that, but then maybe one time you say a swear word, or here's the thing, laugh. Don't go back into the, oh man, I blew it, laugh. I still need some more inner healing. I still need some deliverance. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I'm sorry, help me, deliver me, set me free. Don't engage with the enemy. When you engage, you get caught in his snare, in his trap. And I'm telling you, there's a higher way to win a war, and it's you know, seated in heavenly places is more than most people understand. It's an actual place. And from there, you get the wisdom of the one most high who lets you see really what's going on. And oftentimes, it's just a little imp, you know, barking in someone's ear, trying to get them to do or lash out. And you laugh at that stuff, and you bind it, and you command it to go, and it has no place in your home. You know, some of you have been struggling for years. You know, oh boy, here we go. You know, kids, we love them, don't we? But there's a time when they grow up. Whoa. Some of you are hearing that for the first time by the Spirit. There's a time when they're supposed to grow up and become their own person in God. And if you're micromanaging your family and your children are 30 or 20 or 50, you know, is that God's best for them and for you? And if you're stuck there, you know, listen, I know many people that have been stuck there. Ask the Lord for the strategy to unlock this stuff. And get some deliverance, because there's a lot of codependency going on there. There's a lot of manipulation going on in there. And there's a lot of dark history there that needs to be exposed. Let the light of God come on it, shine on it, and then he'll give you the strategy to bring balance and order into your family again. And so if there's a lot of strife, it's usually, I know there's a couple people in here. I don't know you personally, but, well, I do. Some of you, and some of you I don't, but I know you all, so it doesn't matter. But there's some people in here who have been crying out for help, and God is releasing it right now, so take that. And then don't try to figure it out in the natural. Just say, Lord, is that true? I kind of ring, but I'm not sure. Will you show me? Show me the way out. And he will. And the other thing that I feel like he wants me to talk about is balance. I come from a workaholic family. And, you know, my old saying was, get it done and you work until it's done. And, you know, I did a lot of house rehabbing and, you know, I've owned a couple businesses. And it's a great satisfaction to see a project done. But what happened was somehow I got this, like, demonic pressure and it would push. And I never felt at peace or rest. I would always, you know, be thinking about the next project, next thing that's got to get done, the next thing. And I really cried out for deliverance, and I had partial deliverance. And one of the first things that happened was, I started setting up boundaries, and then I let them fall. And just normal earthly boundaries, you know. And then one day I had this thing happen, and I got mad. I was mad about something. You know, somebody needed something. And I was like, why am I getting so angry over this? Because I normally am not an angry person. I'm so laid back. If you know me, you would know that. And some people wonder if I'm breathing, you know. Because I just chilling, hanging out with him, the one I love. And I remember I was set up. It was when Holly taught on building a fortress that will last. She was teaching on disc number 5, and it was boundaries, and it was like the perfect setup for me. And what I mean by that is Holly was teaching on building a fortress, and that's how to keep the enemy out, you know. And she was showing, teaching this 5-part series on different ways the enemy infiltrates through and what we can do to stop it. And if you don't have that set or haven't listened to it, get it. It is the now word for this season, because we have to shore up our own houses in God so that we will withstand the storms that are coming. And so God set me up on disc 5. You know, I love Holy Spirit and I love His presence and I love serving Him. And somehow I got out of order. I was like a little off. You know when you're a little off and you just don't know what's up? Well, for me, it's always I'm not spending enough time in His presence or His word. That I know. And I get cranky, you know, like irritated, like, and I don't know what it is, but I'm thirsty and I'm hungry. And so this one particular season, this happened, and I was like, what is my problem? And Holly preached the message that she was preaching that night to me, and it was about boundaries and establishing boundaries. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I had a flash vision. And what I saw, because after she said that, I always say, Lord, what are you saying on this? What does that mean? And that's how I ask Him all the time. Whenever I hear a teaching, what are you saying to me on this? Or what does this mean? Or I don't understand what that's about. And He, you know, because I don't know a lot of stuff unless He tells me. I don't care about my opinion and stuff. And I miss a lot of stuff if I don't ask Him. And so I'm asking Him, and He shows me a picture of a big old, like a whiskey barrel cut in half with apples in it and water. And I saw myself bob for an apple. And immediately I knew what He was talking about. I was going in for a drink instead of living in the barrel. And it totally convicted me. I was like, oh my gosh, you're so right. And then I saw this picture in the spirit of my house, in the spirit. And I saw this big old front porch, beautiful front porch, long driveway, and these fields on both sides. And I saw the fence knocked down on both sides. And people were coming. They weren't coming up the front door at 2 in the afternoon. They were coming at, you know, 10 at night through the text message, you know, fence border that was broke down. And I repented for trying to man-please and get everything done. You know, I thought it was the way I was supposed to be, but it's not. He's first. You guys aren't, okay? And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it in a godly way. You know, if I put you first and put Him second, you wouldn't be here right now because I have nothing to say. I don't carry any power or authority. He does. And I can't manufacture it. I've seen it manufactured, and I laugh. And I think, how disgusting is that? It's a stench. So I hate counterfeit because I came from it, you know, with the bondage and stuff, with the drugs and alcohol and all that other stuff. So anyway, I repented. And every night, I would walk the fence line with Jesus, and I'd say, how did we do today? Anybody get in? And then He would say, oh, you did good today. Or the next day, He'd say, well, you could have handled that better. You know, and then He would tell me what to do for the next time. And I'd say, oh, thank you so much. You know, and we walk the fence line for a long time. And I don't hardly ever walk it anymore because my boundaries are pretty secure. And, you know, there's a lot of people in here who think that if you work hard, you'll succeed. Listen, you already are a success in God. And if you are working the natural system and being pushed by the natural system and the drive, you're going to be dry and thirsty because it's from Him that we get everything. And when we put Him first, our job, our way, our thoughts, our managing this company or, you know, managing our family, if we really put Him first and know that we don't know nothing, that He knows everything, that is huge. It is huge. It's life-changing because it's life-giving. You know, I used to think I knew stuff. The older I get in the Lord, the more I realize I don't know nothing. And I don't even, you know, I thought I knew. I built that sound system. I thought, oh, I know. And I laid hands on it. I thought I know. I don't know how to work the thing. I have to ask Him. You know, I know nothing. And I don't want to know nothing in the flesh because by the Spirit, there's a lot more revelation and truth and power. See, the natural realm is twisted and contorted and we're being fed stuff from the wrong source. And I'm not going down that path, but I'm just saying, drink from the well of God and you will know all things. You will not have to go to a man to find out what you need. You'll know. He'll tell you. He'll say, you know what? Buy extra this. Or, hey, don't go to that down that road. You know, we know one guy, we heard a message of a strong man of God who, was driving home from somewhere, and the Holy Spirit told him to, like, either to turn right or go straight, and he disobeyed, and he got in a car accident. Now, did God do that? No. God was warning him for protection, and God will warn and tell us for protection. You know, turn the TV off. Don't do this. Do whatever he tells you to do, because he's trying to build you up in him instead of battle with the flesh realm and the distractions of the flesh. And so I'm just going to close my eyes for a second and shift gears. I can feel his holiness in here. I can feel his heart for his people, and he's reminded me of, you know, some people don't know this, and I feel like he wants me to say this. You know, before I came up to the mountain, you know, we pray for every person to come and make it that's supposed to be here. And we pray for everyone to receive whatever it is that the Lord wants them to get. And we pray for life-changing, not just, you know, we love healing, we love deliverance, but we love when people connect with the Father and they know that they're His. We love when people get set free in that area. And as I was listening to him, he reminded me, you know, he asked me, what am I believing for when we were coming up to the mountain? And I quick got out my pen and I started writing down people's names, you know, for healing that I knew that needed healing and certain things that I felt like he wanted released and stuff. And some of you came here and you don't even know how to believe for anything, because you've never heard that before. And, you know, sometimes you'll hear me say the hungry get fed. And, you know, what I mean by that is, you know, we're all being set up for everything that we need. And sometimes we don't know what we need, so we don't say anything. But if you put your order in, it'll get filled. And I don't mean that in a cheap way, like McDonald's drive-thru. You know, there's things I was crying out for that he released this weekend already. You know, and like the first night, you know, one of our dear brothers, you know, I specific prayer request, and I saw that get answered in front of my eyes. I can't tell you how many times when I write something down, I watch it get answered right before my eyes. You know, there's things that the Lord wants to give you, and you might not even know what that means. Just sit. After this break, you sit, find a quiet place, and say, Lord, what is it that you're saying right now to me? And then if there's something, you know, I was believing for my son to come into the kingdom of God. And he did. Like, I wrote it down, and I haven't told you. I mean, this all just happened. You know, I'm writing stuff out. You know, we were in Steph's meeting, and I declared all the lost are coming home to the Father, you know, and I named the names of people I know, and, you know, the next day I got set, my son called me. You know, it's not hard works. It's just releasing what he says and what is in your heart. And what I'm saying is, you know, God told me stuff in 2008. You know, that was a tough year for me. I lost everything. You know, I had... Well, I'll tell you this. I was living in an 850-square-foot house. The Lord reminded me of this when I was sitting out there. And I moved to a 6,000-square-foot house. It was like a palace. And, you know, I lost it. And I don't care about that stuff. I never did. All the toys, I lost it all. All the properties, lost it all. All the money, lost it all. But what I gained is priceless. I gained relationship with the Father. And through that process, I got to step it with him, you know, walk and grow together. He built me up in him through his encouragement, through his word, and through his promises and through dreams. And I really believe that we're in a season where our words, you know, our words are always life and death, but I feel like there's such authority on the body of Christ right now, like for us to release the blessings and speak them. You know, my daughter was under attack. Wasn't going to come to the retreat, and I knew it was the lion devil trying to keep her from being here. And we prayed and commanded, and I remember laying one night, late in the night, on my pillow, and just whispering to Jesus, you know, Lord, I really want her to come. Make a way. Next day she's like, I'm coming. You know? You know, I'm like, I know you are. Jesus already told me, you know. I knew that. Listen, it's effortless, but we have to show up. And what I mean by that is, if you are here right now and you're on your Facebook, you're not showing up. If you're here right now and you're thinking about dinner, you're not showing up. And it's a training thing. Don't be condemned. You know, there's oftentimes and I'm like, ooh, smelling food. You know, and then I'm like, forgive me, Lord. You're my food. You're my substance. You know, or, oh, I wonder what the temperature. Your mind wanders. You bring it back under captivity. You bring it back. We have to learn to train our mind, will, and emotions to line up with the Word of God. And this is the season we're in. This is the season that we get to practice this. And it's important. And there's like a heightened alert. It's like effortless. It's like, it is. Oh, it is. You know, and so God is challenging us. Take your paper, take your piece of paper, and or whatever, if you use a smart dumb phone or whatever those things are called. Write it out. Spend time with the Lord and believe for what you need. Those that believe will receive, as long as it lines up with the Word of God. His Word can't lie. And so I know the other thing that I feel like I'm supposed to share is oftentimes Christians have been taught that the minister will do it for you. And I just got to break that lie. First of all, it's him and you. And oftentimes he uses people, but if there's people in here who are sitting and waiting for their deliverance, they're waiting. Listen, it's here. Grab hold of your deliverance. Jesus is in this house. Grab hold of it. What do you need right now? If you believe it, you will receive it, as long as it lines up with the Word of God. His Word is always true. Do you have backslidden family members in your house? Well, how does God handle that? You call them in. I call them in. You know, the weirdest thing happened to me. Somebody came up to the altar for prayer and was like, you know, so-and-so, my kid is backslidden. And this Holy Ghost boldness came out of me. I said, what's their name? And I said, so-and-so, come into the kingdom of God right now. And I released it into the atmosphere. You know, I'm telling you, our voice carries the power of God. We have to come up to who we are in Him. And so, you know, what I'm releasing right now is for everybody, but some of you, this is just raising questions, and you're like, well, what about this? Listen, on that CD table in the back, Holly's teachings, everything I learned from her. I was so blessed to sit under the ministry of Edgar and Holly Bailey. You know, they're my spiritual folks. God set me up. He knew I wasn't going to get it any other way, you know. He often moves things to positions so that we can receive the fullness. You know, because I blew it. In the flesh, I blew it. He's like, she's blowing it. Okay, we're going to have to cause this to happen, so that she walks into this. And that's how things happen. And from there, I can't tell you how many people have, you know, come into relationship with Jesus Christ just because they saw what happened to me. I was like the drunk, backslidden, crusty Christian who couldn't be trusted. You know, I tell you one thing and do another. You know, I'd make a promise and never follow through. Now, today that bothers me. I don't make a promise unless it's the Lord's promise. So, listen. When you leave the mountain, you're not leaving the mountain because it's a position in God, okay? You can come and go anytime you want, in and out of fellowship with Him, in and out of time spending in Him. Now, there comes a time where you are always in Him. And that many people don't talk about, and I'm not released to talk about that. But listen, there is so much more. We have to stop drinking the little baby milk and listening to the little feel-good messages of the hour or the latest prophet that's releasing the Word. Listen, go to the Father, go to the throne, be delivered, get set free, and walk in wholeness. And how do you do that? You can't do it without Him. I lay myself down. Lord, deliver me. Help me, I'm a wreck. I don't know how to do. I can't live on earth because I don't fit here anymore. You know, help me walk in whatever you want me to have. Help me deliver whatever you want me to have. Does anybody have any questions? I like to ask if anybody has questions because I know sometimes my language is a little different than most. Okay. Okay. So, everybody knows in this room, okay, Garden state. Remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden, cool of the day, walked with the Father? And then sin, deception, fall. Then Jesus came and redeemed us from the curse. We all up on that? Okay. Some people aren't. So if you're not, you know, we'll help you with that. Well, with the great exchange, everything that Jesus died for is available for all of us. He made the great exchange. He went, took the keys from hell, got them back, redeemed us from the curse so that we can walk in the fullness. The church and the man laws have caused us to stay low and under bondage. Jesus has released us from bondage and from all captivity. And there's a place in the cross, behind the cross, you can go. It's the great exchange. It's wonderful. It's real. There's healing behind that cross and deliverance and refreshment. And people are like, what are you talking about? Well, you won't know because you're listening in your flesh right now. But ask the Holy Spirit to show you, and He will show you. And what happens is there's this thing. You come in as a mess, and it's all about me. Come on. I'm coming because I want to get a word. I'm coming because I like to see so-and-so. I'm coming because I'm part of this team. You know, ugh. Listen, there comes a point where there's a transformation where you fall in love with Jesus. And it doesn't happen. Well, sometimes it does. Happens instantly. But sometimes it's like, I think I'm in love, but what does that look like? Will you teach me? And He'll show you how to love. Because if you measure it in the flesh, it's so low. His love is perfect and pure. And He wants to teach us relationship, fellowship, and falling in love with Him. And so what happens is when we come in, we're carnal, fleshy. It's all about me, and I had this, and you know, I blah blah whatever, and that's all normal. Until we have to die to that stuff. We have to, because it's not us. We have to come to revelation. It's not us. You can't play that instrument. God plays it through you. You can't paint. God does it through you. You know, you can tell the difference, and there's a place where you start to walk in Him where you know the difference because you're in Him. And you start to recognize, oh, that's flesh. Oh, that's flesh. Oh, flesh. Or, ooh, spirit. And so the great exchange, it's you die to yourself. You know, and I said it earlier, you know, it's no longer I, but Christ that lives through me. And what that means, it's levels and levels until. And so for me, you know, we come in as selfish, immature believers, babies, and then slowly, or hopefully faster now, We slowly catch catch who Jesus really is through revelation, knowledge, and relationship, and we realize the greatness of everything He has done for us. But it's not about done for us. It's about something happens where it's, what can I do for you? What about the broken and the lost? How do you feel about this? You know, and you can measure where you're at, but don't judge where you're at, because there's more. You know, I remember when I was, you know, all about me. And I remember when the strangest feeling when I started to care about Him. That was different. It was a different feeling. And I'm like, I really care about your needs and what your opinion is. And I'm grieved when people don't spend time with Him. I love His presence. You know, I'll tell you a quick story, and I'll get back to this. Before my dad passed on, he's in heaven now, he didn't believe in God. He had no desire to know God. And I was believing for his healing. He had brain cancer. And I remember when my dad said to me, because I was trying to witness to him and tell him the greatness of God, and he said, I don't have any use for your God. And I was so grieved. I mean, I was like, and I went home from the hospital, and I was crying in my chair, in my rocking chair, and I was like, Lord, I feel so, I'm just grieved that He thinks that way of you. You know, I was just like, I feel so bad that He said that. That's so, you know, that's like calling my kid ugly. You know, it's just, it hurts. But this was on a deeper level. And I'll never forget this. The Lord said to me, because I had the wrong perspective. The Lord said to me, He may not have a use for me, but I have use for Him. And instantly, whoop, I'm like, you're right, lying devil. You know, and my dad got into the kingdom. You know, God used a secret that my dad had from childhood to bring him into the kingdom. And this is how it went. So never give up on anybody, but do it by the Spirit. See, my reaction was first of the flesh, because I love Jesus. Don't hurt my Jesus. Don't talk bad about my Jesus. And especially my earthly father. That's kind of like a hard conflict. And I remember thinking, you know, I just was so grieved. And he wasn't even moved by it, because he knew the bigger picture. And I could have stayed there and wah-wah-wah in there. But he flipped me through my perspective because of what he released. And I'll never forget it. I was on a prayer call. It was a weeknight, and I'm praying for the ministry, and all of a sudden I go into a vision, and I see my dad coming into paradise. And I see a picture of my grandma, who I don't know her, but I only know her as a photograph. And so I see her standing there with a photograph head. It's the weirdest thing, weirdest picture. And then I see another like younger person next to this woman. And I see my dad crossing over. So I got great hope. I'm like, he's coming home. And I said to the Lord, I said, who's this other girl? And he says, her name is, I think it was Annabelle or something. And he says, go to your dad tonight. And so I go to hospice, and my dad's like, why are you here? It's late. It was like 10 at night. And I said, Dad, I got good news. And I go, I was just praying, and this, you know, I said, Dad, you told me you don't have a purpose for Jesus, you don't have you, but he's got one for you. I go, what the church did to you when you were little, you know, that was all the enemy. It was a plan to set you up and keep you out of relationship, but I'm here to tell you that God loves you, and he has a plan for your life. And by the way, who's Annabelle? And he goes, now he's in and out, and he goes, I go, I saw her. I saw you crossing over into paradise. I saw your mom there, and I saw Annabelle. And I go, who's Annabelle? And he goes, she was my first sweetheart. Aww. Now, my mom didn't know that. None of us knew that. But Jesus knew that, and he released the key. And so I said, Dad, I know you're coming into paradise. And I said, I'm going to talk. And so I didn't lead him into the sinner's prayer because it was not no formula. It was like Holy Ghost moment. And then he told me some secrets about some encounters he had with the Lord that he would never share. I think he was saved all along, just backslidden. But he when he left in pure love. It was no torment. He was going home, and I just was amazed at that. So I don't know how I got on that, but how did I get on that? Great exchange. See, you won't get that from a book. You won't get that from a seminar. You won't get that. You only get that from the throne, okay? And the throne is open 24/7. The doorway is very narrow, and you can't take your best friend in with you. You go alone into the secret place of the Most High. And I'm telling you, here's a cool thing. Those who seek me will find me. All you got to do is seek. You don't even have to know the way, because he will provide the way, because he is the way. Come on. And so, he's calling us home. He's not just calling the backslid home. He's calling all of us home into the secret place. Because when you're in the secret place, you know all things. You just do. You're like, what are you talking about? Well, I can't tell you. You have to go there and get it. And so with the great exchange, you die to your own ways. You die to your own plans. You die to, you know... When I was worshiping, I don't know if it was today, yesterday, it's everything is just like, there's no markers. And I was caught up in worship, and I was seeing all these trophies that people had. You know, idols. I saw, like, achievements. And, I laugh at that because I had all that. You know, my trophies were houses. I had plaques on my houses, purchase price, how much income they produced, you know. You know, I was bound down to that junk because I didn't know. But once I learned about idols, I'll never forget when Holly's teaching about idols, I was like, oh my God, I got all these idols? You know, the big idols are easy to find. It's the hidden heart idols. And most of you have dealt with the big idols. And God's dealing with the hidden heart idols. What are you bowing down to? Is it your emotions? Is it your family? Is it your church? Is it your way? See, I bow down to him. I love him. When you bow to him, you get strong in him, and the stuff of the earth makes no difference. I don't care if I have $1 zillion or a nickel. It makes no difference because he'll always take care of me. Now, do I want $1 zillion? Absolutely, because I want to sow it into the kingdom. I want to help captives get free. I want to bless the missionaries so they don't have to come off the field. You know, I want to use and steward the finances to glorify his kingdom, not to hoard in some little bank in the corner of the world. You know, it's all for him or nothing. I didn't die to be raised from the dead, to be some great person. I died so that he'd be glorified. And that's the great exchange. And why does he use me? Because he knows I don't care. I don't care what people think about me anymore. I don't care if I dress nice. I don't care about any of that stuff. And truthfully, I never did care about that stuff. I've always been one that would rather be in the back and just, you know, push a chair in for someone or do a little something nice. But he's called me out, and I'm just doing what he tells me to do when he tells me to do it. And do I get it right all the time? No. No. Do I hold back sometimes? Yeah. I'm asking him to deliver me of that because I know there's more. And it's not for me. It's for the body of Christ. It's for the body of Christ. And so, you know, I'm just, it's no longer me. It's him. And that's why I'm believing I'm getting set free from holding back, because it's no longer me. It's him. It's all him. Or forget it. I'm not doing it. Amen? Did I answer that? Or no? Anybody else have any questions?
Right before the meeting, I was a little bit out of it. But you had seen some feet, big feet. And it took me back to a vision about 11 years ago. It's important to understand that I was standing in the flesh in a forest, and this large eagle sweeps up, lands next to me, and says, "Get on." And my spirit part of myself gets onto the eagle and flies me up to a mountaintop. And there's this rail, like you would see, guardrail, like you would see in a national park. And he sets me down there. And there's Elijah sitting in a fireman's hat. And we have this long discussion. And then he leads me into this room of this building that was up on the mountaintop. And I go through the door, and I'm looking at these big feet. Sheba. And I look up, and I could see knees. And I couldn't look up any further. And I knew that it was the throne of God. And so all of a sudden something lifts me up, and now I can see the upper portion of the body, and it is raging flames. Sheba. And I see these eyes, and they're even hotter flames. And he reaches his arms out and asks me to let him embrace me. And I'm thinking, wow, that looked like it could hurt. And all of a sudden I said, yes. And he took me into his arms. The flames engulfed me, and I felt this incredible love like I had never experienced before. The very thing that will just destroy flesh fed my spirit. Fast forward about 3 years ago. I'm walking on this bridge that was made with hemp rope and boards put across it between two large cliffs. I get out into the middle of it and I look down and I realize there's this raging fire coming up from the bottom of the canyon. And I see that it's burning the ropes. And I look at the other side where I was trying to get to. And it's like, I've got to make a run for it. And I ran right as the ropes completely burned through. I grabbed a hold of one of the boards, and I'm trying to pull myself up again. And Elijah shows up again with his fire hat. And he says, "What in the world are you afraid of?" And I look down, and I recognize the flames again. And I let go. And I let myself fall into the arms of my Father. And it ended there. But during the great exchange discussion, I was able to look up and I saw that the two huge cliffs had been strongholds that were in my life. And when I fell into the flames of the fire, I realized that these cliffs, which were set up there, that I was walking on, that were causing destruction in my life, were familiar. And they felt like it was normal. I fell into the arms of the Father, and now today I got to look up and I saw that both of them fell over.
Hallelujah.
Now, if there is something that we don't think that we can give up, if there's somebody that we can't forgive, if there's a bitterness that we can't let go of, if there's some sort of stronghold that is in our lives that we're not quite willing to just release, I want to say to you, allow wisdom to sweep down and let you climb upon his back and let him take you right to the arms of the Father, fall into his perfect love, and let this thing get burned up. I do believe that part of the anointing of the spirit of Elijah coming in these days is this fire that is going to help us make this exchange. And while we just release ourselves into his arms, the strongholds and everything else is just going to fall away. What a trade.
Amen.
What an exchange.
That's good. Amen. Thank you. Holly. You listen to us a lot. You know, we bring up idols a lot, and you might think, why are they always talking about idols? But there's so many idols hidden in the heart, and what we don't understand until somebody explains it is that's why we don't get a breakthrough. Because God has already poured out all the promises. He's already released everything we need. He isn't the problem. We stand and cry out, oh God, why don't you do it? Why don't you do it? Why don't you do it? He already did, but we have a little blockage. And I learned this by looking in the mirror. Okay? We all have them, but I'm just going to address like one or two. God will never make you release an idol, but you'll spend years not getting a breakthrough. Not, you know, why didn't I get my healing? Why didn't my kid come to the Lord? Why? God, what's your deal, God? What's happening, God? Why, I'm waiting on God. No, God is waiting on us. There's one idol, and I'm just going to look at the carpet. But this particular idol is a very dangerous and hidden one. There's some people in here, you've moved in some things in God. And you've been around the block and you know some stuff. But here's the danger. We begin to compare ourselves among ourselves. And if you've accomplished some things in God, you might think that you have it together. I know the way, I have it. And that may even be true. But here's a really shrewd move of the enemy. Some years ago, and I'll make this really short, but God gave me a picture. And he showed me someone that was very anointed. He was an anointed man of God. But he was happy with his anointing, and he was operating in it and was content to operate in it for the rest of his life. But behind him, I saw levels and levels and levels of so much more God wanted to do with him but he had it together. He, you know, this is just, it wasn't a real person, okay? It was just a picture. God, you know, speaks to me in pictures. The man was content with his abilities and his anointing, and he was anointed, no question, probably more than most of us. But he had settled there because I'm anointed, you know? And God said to me, don't ever do that. Don't ever settle. He said, no matter how much revelation I give you, no matter how much truth you find out, no matter how much I use you, no matter how much, he said, remember, I'm infinite. And if you start to say, I have it, you will never go further. And last night I saw, sometimes I don't want to see, but God showed me just someone that was blissfully stuck in their know-it-allism. You know, they were the hot shot. I got it. None of us have it. You know, it's a kind of a oxymoron because we have all available to us, right? It's all available to us, free, you know. But if we have that thing in our heart, God says, okay, smarty pants. You know so much. God bless you, you know. I'll let you just keep on in it. And you're not getting your breakthrough, but there's some of us that need to take that thing. Really, the exchange is this. You bring your idol to the cross, or your sickness, or your issue, or your kid, or your deal, your controlling plan, the I know so much, I have it together. While we sit, because I've spent many, many years and will continue till the day I die, searching my heart and asking God to search my heart and confront me, get in my face, slap me if you have to, but show me if I have an idol or a lie or something, because I want all that he has, not part of it. And I've come to understand that if I can get the junk out of me, he can flow more freely. And so the exchange is you bring whatever it is to the altar and you put it at his feet. If it's sickness, you say, I'm bringing my sickness. I'm receiving your healing. If you've been a parent that wouldn't put your kid on the altar, you're trying to manage and micromanage and pray, and you never talk about anything else, and you're just trying to make this kid, you know, get it together, and what's the deal, you know? There's a time when you have to do what Abraham did. Abraham, take your son, your only son, the one you love. Take him up the mountain and kill him. What? You know what we'd say? Oh, God would never do that. Abraham got up early the next morning. He didn't wait 2 weeks. Early the next morning and saddled his donkey and took the child up there. You see, there's things we have to... Some of you want to be used of God. Or you want your healing. As someone in here, you want your inner healing really bad. But you've held on... This might sound unkind, but you've held on to the victimization. And you've excused some of your stuff because of what happened. What happened was terrible, and I will never justify what happened. But Jesus is bigger, and as long as we idolize what happened, and we continue to talk about what happened, okay, Jesus wants to heal you now. He's already died for it. Take it to the cross. Put it down and let him burn it. I had a woman that came out of severe Satanism. She was raised in a satanic household where they literally did the deeds. And she was terrible, of course, horribly, horribly abused. And what she did was she became angry at Christians because they didn't understand. Well, how would they? And so she would tell her story as a punishment, and she would be very graphic. And the Lord told me to be very gentle with her, but very gently I said to her, are you telling your story to help people, or are you telling your story to hurt them? And she got this kind of look on her face. Now what you do is God will present you with some things. And with me it's been hundreds, hallelujah. But while you're here, God will present you gently if you have some issues that are holding you back. Here's why God presents you with your issues. Not because he's mad. God loves you. He loves you, no matter what kind of day you're having. But he will present you with your issues because that's what's holding up the answer to your prayer. That's why you're stuck. That's why you've been believing for 8 years for thus and so. God's already done the thing. If it's a biblical promise, trust me, he's already done it. He's already answered it. But it's stuck between heaven and earth sometimes because you can't receive it because you have a problem, okay? And so that's just one small part of the great exchange. You bring that thing to the Lord and you say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I put my kid before you. I'm sorry I put my emotions before your word. I'm sorry I put my controlling behavior before your plan. And you bring it, you repent, you put it at the foot of the cross, you take your hands off it and don't pick it up again. And say, Lord, burn that thing. You say, but what if it's my kid? God loves your kid more than you do. And God knows better how to save your kid than you do. And when you truly put him on the altar, doesn't mean you're not going to pray for him, but you give him to him. It's really his kid anyway. It's not your kid. It's his kid. He allowed you to steward it. And if you're doing a poor job, you're hurting them. And so you release them to him, and you say, God, I'm going to trust you with that child. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to love him. But I'm not going to own him. And I'm not going to mandate him. I'm not going to control him. I'm not going to try to arrange everything. I'm going to let this go. I'm giving it to you. Remember, he put Isaac on the altar and he raised the knife. God waited till he had the knife in the air. And then he stopped him. But he let him go all the way to that. And because Abraham did that, he sowed a seed. That was his son, his only son, his only begotten son. He was ready to sacrifice that. And I believe that was the seed sowed that God sacrificed his son, his only son. He had to find somebody willing. God's looking for somebody willing to die for him. To die to your stuff, die to your deal, your dream, your idol. And when you do, God's dream comes alive. Resurrection power comes when you are willing to die to self. So, hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.